Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PL. I figured I'd do a little change up this time. It always revolves around Chicago. Always goes back to Chicago. Usually I bring you in with a little bit of the Bulls. Today, had to bring you in with a little bit of the Blackhawks. You never know. You never know. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. We were slammed yesterday. I mean, we were slammed yesterday with information. Still have some Bear stuff to get to this week. Still have some Sun stuff. Just literally, when I tell you just, I mean just got off a Zoom meeting with the Suns. Good information from Monty Williams. Great information from Mikal Bridges. Today we'll play the sound that Suns GM Suns GM had yesterday. So we got a lot to get in today. Talk Monday Night Football from last night, and I'm going to replay my favorite part of yesterday's show. I've got to. I don't want to. I have to, because I think it was one of the times I actually laughed on air about something that was said. So anyway, this is the Cave Show of PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Locally in Chandler, get down there, check them out, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You also can become a club member. Get your access to the members' lounge, a lock and a back up to the humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad at all. Tons of TVs back there for you to watch. Tons of TVs everywhere, all around the place. As a member, though, you get a couple more TVs. You get a couch, refrigerator, coolers. Everything is back there for you. They do serve beer and wine, so make sure you check it out. Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. If you can't get in, no worries. Go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Same great selection. Just order your sticks online. If you get the order in early enough, they will ship the exact same day. Do all this over at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Don't forget Thursday, Cigars with the Cave Show. I will be in the building live from 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock. So if you ever want to check it out live, it's actually pretty cool to do. I always have people sitting around, and I love the way that they verbalize what I'm saying back, or they shake their head up or down, or tell me I'm smart, or tell me I'm not, or whatever it goes. Either way, it's a lot of fun, and all that's at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School, locally in Chandler, Arizona. We are taking calls today as well. Call in line. Carrie Lackey Law Line, number 917-889-7828. Like I said, got a lot of NBA news, got some Bears news. And yeah, I'm one of those people, you can tell me whatever the hell you want about Carson Wentz. I know what my eyes tell me. And we're going to get into that a little bit later, too, and get into how Philadelphia is just screwing up the situation. But let's open up these phone lines first. I'm going to get two calls in today. That's it. So you better get with it. First caller, thanks for holding. It's Cave Show, PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Lou, what's up, my friend? How are you?
Well, starting off with, of course, how the Eagles could finally scrub the division, and last night was another example of how they did. It's what I think they call is a hot mess.
They're just not good.
You can say that again.
I mean, let's just stop beating around the bush. Let's stop saying, right, oh, well, Carson, poor Carson Wentz. He doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to. He can't he's throwing the guys that should be working at Foot Locker. He doesn't have a running back. Even when he has time, even when he has the ability to step into a throw, he's not doing it. Look, I'm just going to be honest with you. Dude makes over $100 million. And I don't think money necessarily has anything to do with it because he earned every penny because they gave it to him. So I'm not one of those guys that says, oh, he shouldn't be making the money. No, if they gave him the money, he should get the money. But I'm tired of hearing it because 3 years ago, I watched Russell Wilson with no offensive line, receivers that you probably can't even tell me who they were a couple years ago. And I saw him get them with a shaky defense, terrible offensive line, shaky running game. I saw him get them to the playoffs. So I don't want to hear this crap about how Carson Wentz has nothing. He's playing in the worst division in football. If you can't get your team better than a 4-7 first place Giant team, I don't want to hear anything about how you're saddled. I want to hear that nonsense.
Right.
Because find a way, dude. Lou?
Yeah, I'm still here. I mean,
I'm sorry. What was it saying?
Yeah, I mean, because, although they're still in the hunt, I mean, it's still pretty embarrassing, though.
Lou, it's embarrassing.
Better than a division.
You're 3-7-1. Really put this into perspective. You're 3-7-1. You are – stop for a minute and think about this. You are the best quarterback, allegedly, in the division. Dallas is without Dak. Washington has Alex Smith, who's on a rebuilt leg. Bless his heart for that dude having that much stuff in his gut to even want to come back. Daniel Jones, his team won last week. He went out with a hamstring. And their best running back is out for the year. You can't propel your team as the alleged best quarterback in your division. You can't propel that team to, I don't know, let's call it crazy. Call me crazy, Lou. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm good with that. If you're four, I'm crazy. If the best team is 4-7, you don't have enough talent in your body to get your team to 5-6. Hell, 7-9 will get you in the playoffs, and you can't do that.
It's been done.
Come on, dude. I'm tired of the Carson Wentz bullcrap. He's better than Dak. No, he's not. No, he was never better than Dak Prescott. And we're seeing it now because you know what? Dallas is 3-8 without Dak. Philadelphia is 3-7-1 with Carson Wentz. Need I say more?
Yeah, exactly.
So, miss me with that nonsense.
Right.
And there's more I'm going to get to with him too. I'm just politely waiting. Dak was at least 2-3 by the time he got hurt and went out. 2-3. His losses came to the Rams playoff team, Seattle playoff team, Cleveland playoff team. So I'm over this Carson Wentz phenomenon.
I think we all are.
What's going on?
Yeah. Well, at least they're going to have the game tomorrow. I mean, Pittsburgh and Baltimore are finally going to play. Ugh, good. About time.
Hopefully. Okay, so I understand why they got to get this game in. I do. I think I said it yesterday. I understand why they have to get this game in. But at the same time, Lou, this is tough on everybody because every game going forward now is just all messed up.
Right.
You know, the schedule for next week is nuts. Although it will be nice having a game that's going to start while I'm on air tomorrow.
That will be. I think that's a first for us.
Yes.
Well,
this
is the time I've been calling in, yes.
So next week we have a Monday night 3 o'clock game. We have, when that ends, we then have a 6:15 game, and then on Tuesday, we get a 6:05 game.
Yeah. Go figure.
craziness. Just craziness.
It is.
Monday afternoon football.
Yeah. And the basketball tournaments are going on right now, which was supposed to be last week, but some are playing this week. Yeah, fine with me.
COVID.
Yeah, but at least we're still playing.
Yeah. COVID is changing every schedule. A friend of mine said he just got his 2021 planner. I'm like, for what? Who even needs a planner anymore? Everything we plan, it just gets crossed out and replanned.
You know, it's been like nothing at all.
You know?
Yeah.
There's crazy. Just craziness.
It is.
But that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it fun.
You're right. Of course, some of these matchups,
tell me what else you got for me, my friend, before I get to commercial, because I want to get everything in that you have.
What do you make of this new female kicker in football for Vandy?
I love it. I love it. I wish she was kicking for the Bears when Cody Parker had that double doinker a couple years ago.
The double doinker.
I'm all for it. You know what? Here's the thing, Lou. If she is not being asked to peel skulls, and if she was, she would be training for that. And I'm tired of people saying, oh, well, what happens if she has to end up tackling somebody? All the people that are saying that, have you ever seen kickers try to tackle people? It's not a pretty sight.
Not intentionally, of course.
No. So kickers get doinked out and moved out all the time. So I don't want to hear what if she has to tackle someone. I'm going to ask the same question. What if a regular kicker has to tackle someone? They're not very good at that either. You know why they're not good at it? Because that's not what they practice. They practice doing
that's
this crazy
right.
thing. Kicking off and kicking through the upright. Kicking off and kicking through the upright. You know what she's going to be asked to do? Kick off and kick through the upright. That's her primary job. And I'm tired of these people saying, oh, well, they can't do this, they can't do that. Why not? Why can't she be a kicker?
Why not?
Why? Why not? So I love it. I love the story. I love that Sarah Fuller is proficient enough, has enough gumption to go out there, not put a ceiling on what she could do, and go out there and go for what she wants to do. I'm good for it. And I love the sticker on the back of her helmet that said, play like a girl. Because there are people act like there's not a bunch of dude kickers that just flat out suck, and there's not a girl out there that can outkick them.
Right.
They act like there isn't. There's however many college programs out there. I don't know exactly how many, but there's a whole bunch of college programs out there. You're telling me that all those guys can kick every girl that's a kicker? I don't buy it.
No, I don't think so either.
So, good for her.
Yeah. Okay, I'll leave it at that.
All right, buddy. Have a good day. All right, buddy.
Thanks.
Always good to catch up with Lou. That's my man there. It's absolutely crazy. People come up with the dumbest things to say about a young lady that can kick. You know, I'm going to get some more into this. I wasn't intending to, but I'm going to get some more into this after we come back. It just amazes me, some of the things I've heard and some of the things I've seen by some of the myopic morons on social media. Anyway, we'll get into that a little bit more, along with the Suns, along with the sounds from the Bears. And I'm going to play you my favorite thing again from yesterday. It's K-Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Tuesday. Thank you for joining me today. I appreciate you taking the time. If you ever miss any parts of the show, know that you can definitely listen to it at Casual Sports Radio Network, KSRN, 3 o'clock every day. You get the replay. Make sure you download that app, Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Also, you can go to thesportscave.com, 1 o'clock every day. Check us out live as we are also on KSRN as well as BTR. Hit that listen live button, sportscave.com, Cave is with a K. Make sure you check us out every day. It's something that you, it's not something that you want to listen to, it's something you need to listen to. Stay up to date with all sports, or at least sports that matters to everyone. You're on The Cave Show with PLR. If you hit that listen live button any other time, you will be routed to just a plethora of our shows. Check out a favorite one. Check out a new one, maybe one that you missed, even though you shouldn't have. Or you can also check out our website, sportscave.com, Cave with a K. On the front of the page, there are some shows there, some of our faves, some of our favorite interviews. So get in there, check it out. All that can be done at sportscave.com, Caves with a K, and check out The Cave Show with PLR. Welcome back this Tuesday. And yeah, I was good friend Lou, friend of the program, was just talking about Sarah Fuller and her kicking for Vanderbilt University. And so I had to look real quick. There are 893 college football programs. And that spans everything. It's not just Division One. It's not NAI anymore. I don't know what the hell they call themselves now. There are, according to online, there are currently approximately 893 football programs spanning five different division levels: NCAA Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA, and NGCAA. I don't know what the hell all that stands for, but you can't tell me, you can't convince me that means that there's 893 kickers better than any female kicker out there. So the best female kicker isn't better than 893. And most Division I schools carry two kickers. So there's even more than that. And I think Vanderbilt has other problems than to worry about the kicker, considering they couldn't cross the 50-yard line in an entire game to give her a shot to make a kick. The only time she kicked the whole game was kicking off for the second half. And that's because they deferred. Their problem isn't that kicker. Their problem is everywhere else. If you can't put a drive together in an entire college football game to even get to an attempted field goal, you really suck. And it's not your kicker's fault. That means your quarterback has issues, your linemen have issues, your receivers have issues. You basically can't catch, block, pass, or run. You can't do anything that would allow you to get to your kicker. Marinate on that for a second. Let that soak in. Let that permeate in your mind for a second. Should a girl kick the ball? It's just the dudes be playing their positions. Should a guy be playing quarterback? Should a guy be calling the plays? Should a guy be blocking up front? You couldn't cross the 50. The only time your kicker kicked was to kick off. And we're asking, should she be playing? Hell yeah. She should be playing her position and probably 11 others on offense. Anyway, speaking of people that can't play offense, as we segue into my beloved Chicago Bears. Once again, the Bears found a way to lose. And you know how they found a way to lose this week? They got on a plane. They got on the plane and they went to Green Bay and they lost 41-25. And let me tell you something. That score wasn't 41-25. The Packers easily could have hung 60 on the Bears. Easily could have hung 60 on the Bears. They played terrible. Terrible. This is a bad team. You know, when they first said earlier in the year, the Bears were the worst 5-1 team in the NFL. And I remember Bears head coach Matt Nagy coming out saying, I'm not getting too upset over too much. We're 5-1. They can talk about us all they want. We're 5-1. We have the best record in the NFL. 5 weeks have passed since he said that. They're now 5-6. So they were the worst 5-1 team. They were the worst 5-2 team. They were the worst 5-3 team. They were the worst 5-4 team. They were the worst team at 5-5. And out of all the teams in the league, they're the worst team to have a 5-6 record. Bears came out in the first quarter, and they played tough. 6-3 going into the second quarter, and even then, you didn't feel like they really had a chance. And then the second quarter rolled around, the third quarter rolled around, and between the second and third quarter, the Packers hung 35 points between those two quarters alone. And that's when they went up 41-10. And then the 15 points that the Bears scored really pretty much window dressing. There were some bright spots in the game. David Montgomery's running was a bright spot. Allen Robinson actually being targeted in the red zone was actually a bright spot. And then you pretty much leave it at that. The Bears' game plan got scrapped early. Mitch Trubisky threw the ball 46 times, and I'm watching this game, and I'm still not seeing Matt Nagy do anything to help Mitchell Trubisky out. He is a mobile quarterback. Let him get moving. Let him do something. Carried the ball 3 times for 11 yards. I know typically you don't want your quarterback. This isn't typical. Use his feet. Make him mobile. Make adjustments. Matt Nagy is still round peg, square hole guy, or square peg, round hole guy. He does not know how to coach to the talent that he has. The Bears have an incredible defense. This may have been the worst defensive game they played all year. So I'm just talking in general. They have a great defense. When you don't have a quarterback, what is the one thing you attempt to do? Milk the clock, keep the ball out of their hands, be opportunistic on offense. When you have something, you take it. When you don't, you move on. But this guy that's playing or acting coach, still doesn't seem to get it. It sounded like, and he quickly cleaned it up, but it sounded like he was kind of on the defense, considering the defense has been carrying their water for him all year. their offense has been anemic, and the defense has been putting on a hard hat and taking care of everything. And Matt Nagy kind of wants to talk about them and their effort. And he was asked, were you calling out your defense?
Guys, see, here's what you got to understand is these guys know how much that I and we have their back as players. This is not news to them. They know how they played yesterday. They get it. I'm not breaking any news to anybody on our team how we played defensively, and I'm certainly not breaking news to anybody on our team how we played offensively and that we should have scored more points. Without a doubt, this isn't a blame game. We lost because the defense didn't play well. That's not what this is. But what I'm saying is that our defense understands. They know how significant and important they are to this team. And so, you know, when they continue to just play the way that they're playing, and it doesn't have to be an all-star, 8-sack, 4-turnover game every week. That's not what we're saying. But our defense has very high standards for themselves. And that's what I love about our coaches, and that's what I love about our players. So this has zero to do with singling out anybody or calling out anybody. That's not what this is. All this is a simple fact. Those are numbers that I read to you. And I've already had the discussion this morning with our coaches. I already had discussions with players last night. And so, you know, that's where it's at. You know, we rely on them, and they're a huge part of our success, and they know that. And so our offense on the other side, it's the same thing. We met this morning as well and understand, okay, where are we at, and how can we get to a point where we're not playing 50 out of 70 snaps in no huddle because of the score, right? When we get down there, let's score touchdowns. When we get out there out of the third quarter, instead of, you know, we have a good first down on the first throw of the game, and then we end up, you know, not getting any points. And then our defense comes out, and they get them, force them into a 3rd and 20, and they throw a screen, and we get them, you know, and you felt that energy, that drive right there by the defense. So I'm excited to see how our defense responds to this. I think that I know they care, and I'm excited to see really our team and just understanding where we're at and having that personal pride, not just the players now, coaches too, all of us.
How your defense responds to it, they laid one egg. Okay, put it like this. Imagine you have a roommate. Go back to your college days. Say you had a roommate. And on rent day, your roommate comes up to you and says, you know what, I'm a little short this week. Can you cover me through? And you say, yeah, I got you. Next month rolls around. Hey, man, I'm a little bit short this week. Can you carry us through? Yeah, I got you. And imagine this has gone on for 10 weeks. You a little bit short? Yeah, I got you. Don't even worry about it. I got it. Even though I'm tired, even though I just worked 12 hours, I got it. Don't worry about it. But now on the 11th week, you come to your roommate. The 11th month, you come to your roommate and you say, yo, man, I'm a little short this month. Can you carry me through? Nah, I don't have it. I think we're both in trouble. Not only do I not have it, I have less than I had when I was asking you to help me. In your mind, eventually you're going to say, what the hell do I need this roommate for? He's making it harder on me. As my great-grandmother used to say, I can do bad by myself. And that's what's going to start happening. It's going to fracture sooner or later. If the defense keeps carrying the offense, but the offense can't ever defense, inevitably that defense is going to look on the other side of the field, and they're going to look at that head coach, and they're going to look at that OC, they're look at Nagy, they're going to look at Lazor, and they're going to say, what the hell are you doing? What position are you consistently putting us in every week? I have friends that have played in the league, and they have told me there are times when they look over on the offensive side of the ball and they see who their quarterback is that they say to themselves, crap, guess we got to pitch another shutout. Guess we got to hold them to 3 and hopefully we can bring one back or hopefully get us close enough after a turnover to get us where they only have to go maybe 15 yards. Or you know what, dang, we're going to win this game today, 15-0 on 5 field goals. I've heard that a lot. from a lot of friends that play in the NFL or have played in the NFL. And that's where the Bears are. And Matt Nagy should be saying, instead of saying they know what performance they had and going on that long diatribe about they did, he should have came out and just flat out said, our defense really didn't have their A game today, but our offense once again didn't pick anybody up. I once again couldn't get the right formula, the right game plan. Laser didn't call the right plays. And this guy goes on. Listen to this.
It's certainly not effort. It's not effort. And here's what I'll say. I can do this with our defense because they that's how they are, and they know how well they've been playing, you know, the last however many games. Like they know that, and they understand that yesterday isn't who we are. That's not our identity on defense. And so they're big boys. They can handle it, and they're at a point where they're going to agree with everything that I'm saying. This is nothing that they're disagreeing with. The other stuff, no. I mean, that's what I'm saying is do more of it. Right? So all these guys, they are studying, they're working hard, they're practicing, but the guys, if you're catching 10 balls of the jugs after practice, go catch 20, right? If you're a guy that's watching, you know, 3 hours of video in one night, maybe watch four and get that extra hour in there. I think this is more about the extra than it is just about, because obviously right now we need to do a little bit more. And sometimes, you know, whether that's just getting your rest, If you're not getting enough sleep, then get more sleep. That's for everybody. So I'm not insinuating by any means that they're not doing it. I'm just saying do more.
That's the stupidest shit I think I've heard in a long time. It really, truly is. Let's just be flat honest. And if you have your 9-year-old listening to the show, I apologize for saying the word I just said. But you knew when you logged on, every now and then, I'm going to say something. And right now, I'm going to say this again. That was stupid because it's not effort. If you look at this team, the one thing I'll say about this team, unlike other teams whose name I won't mention yet, the Jets, they try hard every single week. Whether it's for Nagy, maybe they like him and they're playing hard for him, but they play hard. It's not effort. It is scheming and different. If every day I'm headed to work, and there's traffic going down a certain street, and I just drive that certain street all the time, but now I'm going to try to drive faster. Well, I can't go faster. Same cars. Well, I'm driving in a different lane. Well, it doesn't matter. This car's in that lane. All right, well, I'm going to drive in the other lane. Can't. Doesn't matter. They're in that lane. No. There comes a point where if I don't want to be late, instead of taking this street, I may need to take that street. Nagy, it's not effort. It's scheme and planning. Hey, you know what? We don't have Nick Foles this week. Lazy, you know what we need to do? We need to go ahead and run some more rollouts. We need to do a couple more design quarterback runs. We need to get him going out instead of taking 8 or 9 steps back and holding the ball. We need to maybe do a couple quick reliefs, 2 steps, throw. 3 steps, throw. Let it fly. Maybe these are the things we need to do because – this is a skill set for the quarterback that we have. Mitchell Trubisky has already proven to you he's not going to drop back in the pocket. He's not going to have that 4 or 5 seconds, and he's not going to drop pennies from heaven into wide receivers' hands like Russell Wilson and like Deshaun Watson and like Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to happen. Not consistently, so why are you asking him to do it? Do you go into a gentleman's club and ask the dancers to keep their clothes on? No. So why are you asking this dude to do something that he doesn't do? Allow him to do his job the way he can, not the way you want, and maybe then you'll be more successful. But you're telling this dude, this is what you got to do, when that's not what he does. That's not fair. And to say, we have to do more of it. If you catch 10 balls, catch 12. If you sleep 8 hours, sleep 9. If you study 4 hours, study 5. It's obviously not effort. It's scheming and timing. I have a question for you. Mr. Dumore. David Montgomery ran 11 times for 103 yards. How come you didn't run more? How come you didn't do more? How come you didn't get him involved more? What's been a holdup? So, see how it's real easy for me to say, just do more? What's the definition of insanity? I don't even have to say it because we already know the answer. And yet he's going to say, this team, oh, they're not going to give up. That's not what we do.
Just because of who we are in our building and the stuff that we've been through, I believe in these guys. I believe in every one of them, players and coaches. And this is just right now a very, very difficult time that we're going through. Forget all the other stuff off the field, but on the field, this is an extreme challenge. If you don't, as a head coach, if this doesn't bother you or if this doesn't, affect you, then you better make sure that everybody understands that it needs to affect them. And our guys understand because of the team messaging that we have and where we're at, how hard it is. It's hard to win in this league. And when you lose and you lose five in a row, you are getting challenged big time. And what's easy to do, the easy way, is to just start pointing fingers and just saying it's not my fault. That's what it's easy to do. And unfortunately, there's too many right now. There's a lot to do that. And so we're not. And we're going to fight. And I thought that, again, our message in that locker room at the very end, and that's I'm going to keep it internal with us, was good, was very good. And so we're not going to point fingers. We're not going to blame. We're going to line up and play the next game that they allow us to play. And we freaking go, and we fight for each other. That's all we're going to do. We're not going to be negative.
Okay. And that went on. And that's why I just stopped it. We're not going to be negative. We're going to fight for each other. All that is cliche crap. All of that. Chicago is a blue-collar town. They run. They play defense. They slap you real hard, and then they run some more, play defense, and slap you again. And in all that time, all we've wanted was just one competent quarterback that when things aren't going a certain way or to make it easier, to have a quarterback that can make it easier, that can just give you a little help. And they really haven't had one. They had one back in 85. But they haven't had one on a consistent basis since. But now we've got a coach that I honestly believe thinks he's the genius that he's been called. Someone, I forget which reporter, and I apologize because you know I'll give you credit, said, why is it that Aaron Rodgers can just find guys open? Why is it that they seem to have no problem, but we can't scheme anybody open? Now, notice this question. This isn't about the players. This is about their execution. This is putting it back on the coach. This is putting it firmly on Matt Nagy. Listen to his answer.
I'm not going to get into all that right now. I think that, there's a lot of different things that go into a lot of what you just asked. So I just, our guys know how we execute, how we call plays, how we run plays, what we do, where our mistakes are, where our strengths are. And again, I thought yesterday that there's certainly, between the penalties and the turn, I thought, the turnovers against a team like this, when they're having the success they're having on offense, you just can't have that. So to me, it's the biggest part of yesterday offensively. Was more so just about the turnovers and then just losing some of that field position in the penalties.
So, Coach, where's your responsibility in that? To you, it was about the turnovers. That's made on the field. It's field positioning. Well, that's made on the field, too. So none of it had to do with your scheming. None of it had to do with the game planning. None of it had to do with the calls that are running in, trying to make, again, a square peg fit in the round hole. None of it had nothing to do with any of that. All on the players. None of it on you. Okay. Matt Nagy, I'm going to just say what a lot of people probably are saying in Chicago, and I'm going to say what a lot of people really don't like to hear. Because to me, there's a difference when a coach loses his job, especially when it's under contract, because they're going to get paid, or they're going to get bought out, or something's going to happen. It's going to allow them to still keep putting food on the table. I will never, ever in my life lobby for someone who can't keep food on the table to lose their job. Never, ever. Never, ever, never, ever. But you have food on the table. And if the Bears do not make the playoffs and win at least one game, I think the gig should be up and you should be looking for another job. There's no way in the world that you should be wasting Khalil Mack's talent. There's no way in the world you should be wasting Akeem Hicks' talent. And that's basically what you're doing with your genius quarterback whisperer bullcrap. Find what works for what you have and make it work. If your wife doesn't cook, if you're a husband and you're the person that allegedly doesn't cook, it is a bad expectation for your better half to come home and expect that you've made dinner if you already knew that you didn't cook. It is a bad expectation, Matt Nagy, for what you have of Mr. Trubisky while he's playing football. I don't know what else to say with that. We'll see what happens this week. The Packers own us. I honestly think Aaron Rodgers is now like 18-5 against the Bears. Or some ridiculous crap like that. Doesn't matter who's the coach. Doesn't matter what city they play in. Doesn't matter what time they play. Doesn't matter what weather condition it is. Doesn't matter what time of the year it is. Doesn't matter if it's September or October, November or December. Doesn't matter who's playing wide receiver for the Packers. Doesn't matter who's playing quarterback for the Bears. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is, once again, the Packers layeth down the hammer on the Bears. And the Bears are starting to look worse and worse every week, not better and better. And I think the brunt of that, the brunt of all of that falls on one person, and that's Matt Nagy. It's Cave Show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Make sure you're checking us out every day on our social media platforms at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. On the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook, sportscave.com. Again, Cave is with the K. It's our website, and then you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. So I'm sure I gave it away when I played this.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
like I said, I do have sound coming up for you tomorrow with Mikal Bridges and with head coach Monty Williams. But I do want to get into what James Jones and the Suns, the GM of the Suns, talked about yesterday and just some of the additions to the team, what his responsibilities are, and just good stuff like that. And James Jones has a real grasp on this team. And when you think about this team to the team that this was 3 years ago, just the attitude, the culture, the talent, the guys wanting to come here. It's amazing what happens when you hire a real head coach, set a culture, and have a plan. It's amazing how things start to change. It's really, truly amazing. And that's exactly what the Suns are doing. And James Jones and Monty Williams have set expectations for this team. And their real expectations on what the direction they want the Phoenix Suns to go in. James Jones talking about guys actually wanting to come to Phoenix.
Well, I mean, our guys are, you know, excited to be a part. The guys that we added this offseason wanted to be in Phoenix. And there wasn't a lot of convincing that I had to do. You know, they've seen the work that Coach Monty and his staff that they put in. They've seen the progression for Devin and the rest of our group, and they wanted to be a part of it. And so I'm excited for them because, you know, this is a competitive environment. So I'm looking forward to watching our guys compete. I know that, you know, we did some things this summer as far as improving the team. But, you know, but just adding guys to the team has never been the goal. You know, the goal for us is winning. And the goal for us is, I said prior, creating a playoff atmosphere and bringing a playoff approach to every single game. And if we do that with this group, I think the sky's the limit. You know, so we'll get it going really soon. But I'm anxious to see how these position battles play out.
I'm going to get into that a little bit more real quick, and I do want to talk roster. In fact, let's do that. Let's talk about Cam Payne, who the Suns got in a steal of a deal, sweetheart of a contract, and some of the positions that those position battles that James Jones is talking about, and his expectations of a Cam Payne and guys like Cam Johnson and all that, and some of the stuff that they have going forward.
I'll let it settle. You know, position battles will determine all of that. You know, Cam had a tremendous bubble for us. He was a jolt of energy for us. He gave us something dynamically that we didn't have. And I look at the bubble as being a platform for him to continue to develop. But he's an NBA player through and through. You know, he's a lottery. He's a highly drafted guy. You know, was young, matured a lot. You know, I think his struggles in the NBA and his time spent away from the NBA refocused him. But he's unique. I think that's the beauty of the roster as it's constructed. There's not a lot of redundancy. Our guys have similar traits and similar skills, but they're all independent. Like, they all have their lane. And so my hope is that, you know, he can establish himself and continue to reestablish himself and bring something to our team, because it's going to happen by committee. You know, outside of Devin and Chris, you know, the rest of our team, these guys are fighting to establish an NBA identity. They've had some NBA success, but they haven't established an NBA identity. And my hope is that by committee, we can establish a collective identity that supports those two guys.
And there you go. And there you go. And you just look at the way this team is put together, the way the roster is put together. The roster is put together perfectly. There's no one position that's super heavy. There's no one position that's super light. There isn't any one thing that right now you can say, well, they got to have this right now. That's out there anyway. So it's different. And James Jones approaches every year different in terms of it's a new team. Every team, every year is a new team.
For me, it's different. I mean, I look at every offseason as a new team. When you talk about tradition and what you've been known for, I do believe we're not the Suns of old. You know, we can't recapture what Steve, what
Charles, you know, with Dan Marley, you know, with Connie and all the rest of the greats, Sean Marion, Amari Stoudemire, we can't capture what they did. You know, we can't be them. The only thing we can do is look forward with Devin, with Chris, you know, DeAndre, Cam McHale, our young guys. We need to establish our own identity. And so my mindset for this group is every year we're a different Suns team. We should never look to the past to predict our future. We have to make, you know, our future our present. And I know that sounds crazy, but for me, that means that every guy that puts on a jersey, every time our team steps on the floor, we have to push our reputation. We have to push, you know, our focus forward. And so we are different, and we should be different because this is a different NBA. I mean, this is a different season. COVID, you know, who would have thought that we'd have to overcome all of these challenges just to play this game? And if we aren't a better team, if we don't strive to adapt and change and reestablish or at least establish our own identity, we'll struggle to be successful.
I'll tell you now, I don't see that in the cards, the struggling to be successful. Not when your GM is laying down the gauntlet to you. Our goal is this. We intend to do this. The way we will get there is by doing this. And by him putting in the work consistently. One thing Monty Williams said, and I have that sound for you this week, is that they're working in concert together. He's putting guys' names up on the board that is complementing the culture that's already here. And that's the one thing I don't think the Suns have done in a while, but not in a malicious way. I don't think they complimented the guys that were here. I think the difference between the Suns now and the Suns of the last few years is that these Suns are taking action, whereas I think the other Suns were reacting. And I go back to bringing in an Isaiah Thomas when you already had Dragan and you had EB, and you know how you could get everyone signed, and so you went out basically and got yourself an insurance guard that then you didn't need. And no one wanted to play two. And everyone wanted to play point. No one wanted to be off ball. No one wanted to defend the off ball guard. It was a lot of stuff that went in there. So everything was reactionary. There's a difference. And from the onset, when you bring in someone who's played for titles, won titles, they have one goal.
The long goal is a title, you know. The short goal is to win a game. And if you prepare every day to win games, that prepares you for the long journey of winning a title. And so it's being intentional. You know, Monty says a lot, everything counts. Every day counts. Every rep counts. So it's taking that short-term approach of, okay, what's the day in front of us? Like, what are we trying to accomplish in the next 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour? What are we trying to accomplish today, this week? As long as we can stay focused on those small steps, knowing that if we string those small steps together, they'll create wins. The rest will take care of itself.
Just that simple. And the Suns have a real nice roster. Devin Booker, Bridges, Cam Johnson, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton. Then you got a Dario Saric, Carter, Cameron Payne, rookie size with Jalen Smith. This team is going in the right direction. And there's no doubt about that. And part of the reason they're going in the right direction is they've been put together very nicely. Don't kid yourself. That has a lot to do with it. So we got some news notes. I'm going to get out of here on that. But before I do, got to play again my favorite part of yesterday's show. This may be my favorite part of shows over the last week, watching Adam Gase, the head coach of the Jets, get caught in the lie. And the reporter are so tired of him, they even let him off the hook with one of their questions when they change direction. Here we go, my favorite part of yesterday's show.
Take over the play calling.
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. And he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it, the drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dal was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the third quarter.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the two-minute stuff.
If that doesn't crack you up, I honestly don't know what will. I am keeping that. I am not deleting this off of our active play, because whenever I need a good chuckle, all I have to do is go to the Adam Gase line. And the best part of this, I keep saying it and I keep playing it, but the best part of this is let me
take over the play calling.
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dal for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything.
That's the best line. Watching the whole game. He isn't doing anything. If I was the coach or the GM of a team and a reporter said, I've been watching your coach the whole game, he's not doing anything, someone, somewhere would be in trouble. But not New York. That is just great and classic. All right, news and notes. Let's go before we get up out of here. Ohio State is to resume some activities. Hopefully they'll play this weekend for them. I think they're in the playoffs no matter what. The whole reason the Big Ten came back was for Ohio State. They didn't come back from Michigan. They didn't come back from Michigan State. They didn't come back from Indiana. They damn sure didn't come back for Northwestern or Illinois. They came back for one team. In the hopes that one team will strap them on their back like they do every year, the entire conference, and either they win some money from a playoff game or from a better bowl game than Ohio State then shares with the conference, because they're not counting on Michigan to bring home the big bucks. I don't know why anyone is counting on Michigan to bring home the big bucks. They never do. They are a traditional 9-win team. Stop acting like Michigan is this old school powerhouse. They're not. They're not. But you can keep thinking that if you want. Hopefully they play this weekend. They're trying to get eligible for the Big Ten Conference title game. Hopefully they get there. Doesn't really matter. Big Ten, you've been making up the rules as you go. Just put them in a title game. If they don't lose the game, put them in a title game. The goal is to get them to the national championship playoffs anyway. Let's put them in a title game. Who really cares? Like, deep down, who really cares? The way this season has gone, I don't think too many people give too many craps about too much of anything. We have more news and notes. We're going to wrap it there. Time is not our friend. This is The Cave Show with PLR. Make sure you're following us on social media, Sports Cave, on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook. Cave is with a K. SportsCave.com is the website. Again, Cave is with a K. Get me on the Twitter as well at PLR on Sports. Thank you for joining us today. Two callers I didn't get to, you hung up too fast. That's your problem, not mine. You should have waited. Patience is golden. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining. Tomorrow is an encore presentation. Let me get that out now. So we will be back live Thursday from a girl's fine cigar and tobacco. Thanks for joining us here at the Cave Show at PLR. This is PLR. And you know what we say now, tips, grin us all.